Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here, Getaway Friday, May the 22nd, 2026, 14 minutes past the hour, Memorial Day weekend. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan. Matt, what's coming up on your show next hour at 10 p.m.?
Next hour on my show, we're going to be talking about politics broadly, but more specifically Cuba. We're going to be talking about the primary that happened in Kentucky. There's some other story that I have written down, too, that I can't recall off the top of my head.
Well, there you go. It's all coming up next hour. Now, Massey, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. Thomas Massey.
Now, we're talking about goodbyes because Johnny Carson signed off 34 years ago today, May 22nd, 1992. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, see, that's a weird thing, that the time he was on, 1963 to 1992, is a shorter distance than 92 to now.
What?
He was on 30 years.
Yeah.
1963 to 1992.
Yeah.
That's a shorter distance than 1992 to now. That's 34 years.
Yeah.
See, that seems wrong.
Well, it was bound to happen at some point.
Doesn't seem like it's been 34 years ago. But I, you know, I don't even think I would tell people I was leaving. See, that's how I'll leave.
He's going to not come back one day?
No, that morning. I'm sure that it's the last morning at the end of the show. I'll say, well, it's been great, but this is actually the last show. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Schedule a big show. Make it.
No.
You're not gonna do a big show.
No. You don't let people know you're leaving.
Well, you don't let. I mean, they don't have to know you're leaving for it to be a big show. You could just have a whole bunch of people on to I don't know, talk about whatever. And be like, oh, look at that. What a great show it was, you know? And
I don't want a lot of people in the room when I leave.
Well, I thought you were going to... I mean, you could have Collins. Most of the, like Sam Donaldson calls in. I mean, you know, you could have a whole bunch of people call in.
Now, because see, a last show is tricky because that's what people remember. So you don't want to, like, build it up and then you go right in the tank. That happens. So, no, I would not tell anybody. This could be the last show for all people know. This could be it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But that was a whole different era, the Johnny Carson era.
I can imagine. I mean, I can imagine it was a whole different thing having three channels. There's, thousands now.
Everything prior to 2015 is when I really started to notice a big, big, big difference. That's when I started noticing things were drifting more toward the internet. I mean, you had the internet, but there was a period where the internet was certainly not the dominant form. And I think it was 2015 is when I started to notice things drifting a different way.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, when did social media become a thing?
That's about that time.
Yep.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, during the break, I switched over to YouTube and was listening to Midas Touch. And I guess United States and Israel is planning some more massive strikes on Iran.
Well, that's an interesting holiday note.
Yeah, and he didn't even go to Don Jr.'s wedding. I don't know when he's getting married. It must be tomorrow or Sunday or something. But he stayed in Washington and didn't go to his wedding.
Well, I think that's good. I support that decision.
Now, he's went golfing before when there was a major crisis. Well, how would you feel if that was your dad and he didn't come to your wedding like that?
If my dad was the president and we were at war, I'd hope he didn't come to my wedding. He's got bigger fish to fry. But I also hope he's not playing golf.
In that war with this thing, I mean, I don't think it's that important to skip Don Jr.'s wedding.
The war isn't that important? I don't know.
Hey, listen, I think Don Jr. will have another wedding, so don't worry about it.
He takes after his dad.
Do you think it has to be right now that you have to start this another major offensive against him?
Well, maybe he thinks Memorial Day weekend should be marked in that particular way.
In remembrance of the troops.
Yeah. Maybe we'll have, you know, some war.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just a jerk. I can't wait until he croaks or get him out of there.
See, that's how you end. That's how you end up in prison. You know, those people are listening.
I don't care. I didn't say I was going to do it. How in the hell can I do it?
No, I'm just saying you don't want to see the man croak. You want to see him live to be a ripe old age.
Oh, hell no.
Well,
the sooner he has that whatever problems they're talking about, the better.
Wouldn't you be just happy, just as happy to see him get out of office?
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
For him to stay off TV, I'd be just as happy, but I don't care however happens. I mean, so you don't have to listen to him anymore, and hopefully if he does get out of office, news agencies won't report, you know, interview him anymore and get his opinion on things, you know, from the new administration. Maybe he can stay quiet like all other presidents used to do. But, you know, here lately they've had to speak out because this is, you know, the times are so different. You know, he's so trying to ruin the country so much that, other presidents, you know, have been speaking out, but you know, from years past, presidents don't say stuff like that about the person in office. But
you know what's interesting is what Donald Trump did have the time to do in the last couple hours is he tweeted about the last Colbert show.
Yeah, no, see, he's got time to do that.
Yeah, well, you know.
He could be there Don Jr.'s wedding via satellite.
Well, here's what he tweeted about the Colbert last show. Stephen Colbert's firing from CBS was the beginning of the end for... No, wait a second. No, this... I don't think that's the sign-off. There's a lot of tweets. This man tweets a lot about Stephen Colbert. Okay, where's the final tweet here? I know there's a final tweet. Oh, hold on a second. Let me find it here. Because, you know, we like sincerity when it comes to, okay. Maybe, I don't know if he's guilty or what. Let's see here. Well, I'll get to it here. But, in any event, what do you make of Trump tweeting about that?
I think that's stupid. Why does he, well, it's like him talking about, you know, Rob Reiner when he died, and who is that Secretary of State or something that died not too long ago?
Oh, Mueller.
That ain't.
Oh, here's what it is.
Petty.
Here it is.
That just makes you look petty.
Here's what Trump tweeted. Colbert is finally finished at CBS. Amazing that he lasted so long. No talent, no ratings, no life. Trump wrote in a post which ended with Colbert jamming along with Paul McCartney and former band leader John Batiste on stage. He was like a dead person. You could take any person off the street and they would be better than this total jerk. Thank goodness he's finally gone.
Well, we could take anybody off the street and put him in there at president and do a damn better job.
Oh, yeah, slap me in there right now. I guarantee you I could do a better job than Donald Trump.
But isn't that a nice way to say goodbye to somebody on their last night? My gosh. A note from the president.
He's talking about Greenland again.
Listen, he's got things on his mind.
AI photos of him looking down on Greenland. What do we need to talk about that for? Does American people want to go to any more wars?
See, I don't think he's in my algorithm. I don't get a lot of Trump stuff.
I go out of my way to look at Trump stuff, so it's in my algorithm.
Yeah.
Here's one thing I wanted to, for all the horny teenage boys that's listening to your program.
That's our core demographic right there. That's where they all come from.
If you go on eBay and put in naked...
Oh, God. What?
There is a lot of naked women photos where they're trying to sell pictures and posters. Can you believe that on eBay?
Well, I think that's wrong.
I'm looking at some right now, and I
think
that's good.
Whoa! No. I'm telling you, don't want to do that.
I just want to enlighten all the young teenage boys.
No. No. Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate those.
Morning, old men we like me too.
No, well, we appreciate the Memorial Day sentiments there. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, 740-383-9944.
All right.
Okay. Well, what do you got?
I don't know. I mean, I think that I actually do support Trump's decision to not go to the wedding. I mean, I think he's got bigger fish to fry, but I think that he should also just stay off of Truth Social or whatever he's posting on.
I don't want to go to any wedding right now. Anyway.
I think he's got, bigger fish to fry with the wars.
Well, there was another story I thought was interesting. Oh, graduates were booing commencement speakers who are talking about AI and how it's going to be the future.
Well,
I don't think young people like the AI.
No, they. Well, I don't know. I know a lot of young people who do like AI, but I also know a lot of young people who do not. So
whatever happened to that River Valley commencement speaker from a few years ago?
I'm pretty sure he got run out of like everything.
Yeah, but where is he now? Is he still alive?
I don't know. I don't even remember his name. I remember the whole thing, though. Oh, boy. I knew it was going to be a thing.
Well, I just remember.
The moment he said, oh.
That was a good story for us. I remember we just did it day
I was there.
We did it day after day after day.
My graduating class made national news with that one.
Yeah, but it wasn't the class. It was the guy. And you know, I remember it was all. That story, you know, if you go back and listen to our coverage of that story.
Personally,
it's very odd.
I think they kind of did the man dirty, honestly.
How's that?
Well, I mean,
I don't even know why he was a commencement speaker. Who was he?
He was a River Valley alum. He had, He had, had some. I think.
Didn't he just say marriage should be between a man and a woman? In his opinion,
that's about the only thing he said.
Yeah, it upset people.
Yeah, to the point where they said it was an anti-gay speech.
See, I did not know.
It wasn't that.
But I did not really understand if he really ever upset people.
Oh, I mean, even at the thing.
Oh, so
I mean,
he wasn't at the thing.
He like said it, and then like half the crowd like clapped to it, and then some. I don't know what the lady in the stands screamed, but somebody in the stands screamed something, and then like the other half of the room clapped, and it was embarrassing.
Well,
man, I was trying to graduate. They made a whole spectacle.
I'm trying to remember. I just remember we talked about that an awful lot.
I know he had some kind of company, and he had defense contracts with the Air Force, but he lost those.
Well,
I think they did the man dirty. Look, the speech wasn't all that bad. Most of it was like you know, like he like any time you spend learning, I promise you it won't be subtracted from your life. And oh, he went on a whole big list. And then yes, the only thing he said that was you know, anti-gay was like. Yes, and I suggest you stick to man and women and women and man marriages, and he mentioned biblical principles, but that was it.
Well, see, that sort of thing can happen.
Well, it ruined that man's
You've
career.
Got to be very, judicious when you're giving a speech. I just remember we covered that for days, and I forget what the fulcrum of the story was. It was basically, was it anti-gay? Why is this national news?
The speech?
Yeah.
No, the speech wasn't.
Well, I'm not asking your opinion. I'm just saying at the time, these were the questions that were...
Yeah, but now we've got answers.
Well, no, I don't think we do. You have opinions, which you had then. And,
I mean,
and
it
I
was...
Think,
I mean, look at... I mean, that... specific section. Sure.
You know, I think I had somebody like, on from River Valley at that. There was a whole thing about that.
And then River Valley lied, I'm pretty sure. They said that they didn't see the speech beforehand. I'm pretty sure they saw the speech beforehand.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, I guess I don't know, but I'm pretty sure.
I just thought that was a very interesting story. And I thought that the Marianne Starr reporting of that story was bad. I do remember criticizing their reporting.
How'd they report it?
Well, I think it was kind of like that, anti-gay.
Well, yeah, I don't think that was the speech.
You know, I think that's wrong. I think it was a misstep. Now, Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary advises people not to spend money on lunch and coffee because it adds up. And that's where a lot of people's money goes. They need to pack their lunch.
Who? And
Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank.
Okay.
He's a billionaire, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I agree. I mean, it's cheaper to pack your lunches than buy it.
Yeah, but I don't think this is the problem. I don't think it's that people are buying lunches and coffee.
No, I think the problem is that things are just too expensive.
Yeah, but this is what this man believes. He says that if you add that up, it could amount to I forget what he said, $15,000 a year or something? I don't know. Maybe it does, but these are the normal escapades of life.
I just think that he's a billionaire and doesn't... I don't think billionaires really understand how the world works because they're billionaires. The rules kind of don't apply to them.
If you chew gum every day, add that up over a year. It seems like a lot more than it would. Anything in grand terms sounds like... Add your gas up. Just time spent driving around. I mean, it's a ridiculous...
Yeah, thing. I had to stop driving around for the fun of it because of gas prices.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you add up anything, it's going to seem like a big number. But that's not how we live life. You live life on a day-to-day basis. And if you can put that in your budget, okay.
I think billionaires just don't comprehend reality.
I think that's kind of silly. Now, here's something interesting as well. Host of Survivor, apparently they just had the 50th whatever, Survivor. I guess it's been on 25 years. They do two a year, something like that. The reality show. The host of Survivor, Jeff Probst, made a mistake and announced who didn't win the final challenge before they showed it on live TV. Because the final challenge was taped and it already happened. But he announced it on the live show before they had shown it.
So how?
Well, the show was live, but he knew, and the producers knew, but the audience didn't know. But he announced it before they had shown it.
But why?
He made a mistake. It was live TV. What can you do? That's happened before. So, the question is, what is the biggest live, because this is live every day, I think, what is the biggest mistake you think you've made, or biggest embarrassment?
This is easy.
It's good. Okay, here we go.
Now,
what are you writing here?
I didn't actually say it. But
really?
I got real close. I said the first word and then didn't finish it.
To who?
About, I was just being dramatic because there was somebody I drafted in fantasy football who had not been playing well. And I was like, I need that person to do better.
But you caught yourself.
I did.
And that was embarrassing to you.
Oh, yes. I think about that a lot. As a matter of fact, a lot.
When was this, this month? May, right? 2 years? What has it been?
Oh, it's probably, it was like last football season.
Oh, so this has been in, see? You get a little more laxed, and that happens.
it's still there in my hand, my brain. I remember it.
Didn't you say a profanity early on, though?
First ever show, yeah.
See, there you go.
First ever show.
I remember that. I don't remember what it was, but I remember you being upset about it.
I'm pretty sure it was just
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you said that on the first show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We were talking about the pyramids, and for some reason, and I mentioned that the people who built the pyramids were actually like skilled tradespeople and whatnot, and because. It had something to do with, slavery built the pyramids, and I was like, well, they actually think that it wasn't slavery because there's, pyramids next to the pyramids where the people who built the pyramids are buried. So the running theory is that they were skilled, craftsmen and tradespeople who just dedicated their time to building the pyramids because they thought it was, they thought it would be pretty cool to be buried next to what they thought to be a living god in the pharaoh.
So how'd we get to that word, the profanity?
Because I said blank. Because I was like, the skilled craftspeople were like, blank, that's pretty cool. And then I was like, you know.
Oh, see, I just remember you saying it.
Yeah.
Because I think Sean was sitting there.
Yes, Sean was on the show's
list. Yeah, I remember that. And I remember it was like, ooh.
Yeah, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah. But see, that's so it happens. See, it happened to Jeff Probst.
It's happened to me twice. Two of them.
So that's the only two, huh?
That I can recall, yeah.
No, I mean embarrassing moments. Embarrassing moments don't necessarily have to be profanities.
Oh, well, I'm sure there's been embarrassing things, but they apparently didn't stick with me like those ones.
I've had guests who I would have done embarrassing things.
Oh, I did an interview one time that I thought was just, like, awful because I did terrible. And that was pretty rough.
Who was that?
Well, good thing. I never actually even recorded it, so.
You didn't record it?
It was live. I mean, if you listened to it live, you heard it live. But if you didn't listen to it live, I didn't even record it. So I looked over and I was like, well, at least that one's gone forever.
See, that's a mistake right there. You didn't record the show. So who was the guest?
I can't think of his name. He was from the Juneteenth thing.
Oh yes, LaCosta.
Yeah, LaCosta Mays.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that show. I forget what happened.
Oh, it was.
Why was it bad?
I mean, he did fine. I think I don't know. I'm not built for interviews. I get nervous when I interview people for some reason.
I like interviews.
That's about it. I get nervous when I interview people.
I don't know why.
Hmm.
That's strange. I don't know. Things that stick out in my mind, I... Well, have you ever been embarrassed when you've been a part of my show?
I don't think so.
Oh, I think that's not true. I can think of one.
The tapings. Like, the ones we did.
Oh, you did something embarrassing on the taping?
No, I... But, like, I don't know. I wore, like, the elf hat before.
Oh, that's not embarrassing.
I don't know. I don't like the elf hat.
The elf hat's good. No. Governor Celeste interview.
That wasn't so much embarrassing. That was just awkward. Oh, it was nothing like, oh, Mary Ellen was sitting there. He was sitting beside Mary Ellen. I was recording the whole thing. You know, it was going well. And then he was like, well, you know, I have to ask about the sex addiction that you put in the book. And instantly, the whole entire energy in the room just did a 180.
He was not happy, I don't think.
It got cold.
He never said anything.
It got cold. You know, Scott, I don't really want to talk about that.
And I still went in on it, though.
Well, you put it in the book. What do you thought?
That's why I'm not embarrassed by that, but it would say... It was a moment that I remember. He definitely was chilly.
And the entire energy in the room flipped.
Yeah, but you know, okay.
Oh, and Mary Ellen was trying to leave before the show started, because it was supposed to be an interview with Mary Ellen, an interview with him, and I think one with both of them at like the end or something like that. So Mary Ellen did hers. She was about to leave, and Governor Celeste was like, no, just sit. And I was like, oh, God, you don't want that.
Yeah, well, I was thinking she should not stay for this either, because this is not going to be good, but, well.
It happened.
He wanted it. So it happened. And that's on tape somewhere.
I got a copy of his book.
Oh, good.
It's signed. He signed the book.
That to me, I don't know. Just a different moment.
I like it.
I'm sure there are lots of embarrassing moments, but I get over those quickly, honestly. Because they happen so fast. I always think you come back and you do it the next day and, okay.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's been embarrassing things, but, like, I just think that, like, most of the time it's in the middle of a show and I don't really have time to think about it, so I just... Keep on keeping on.
I mean, I can't remember anything huge that I ever did.
Nothing like that?
No. I've never had a problem with profanity. Because
I'm working on it. I'm trying to not use so much.
Well, I just don't use it in my general life.
I've cut back. I'm trying to stop.
Because I thought, though, see, like everybody...
Very not good.
Well, if I'm around somebody who's constantly dropping the F word, I do look at them differently. Because everybody does it. It becomes a common thing. And I think it's such a common thing to do. So it just, to me, means nothing.
Well, I mean, they're words that literally mean nothing.
Well, right. That's but you know they're using them for hostilities purpose.
You, I mean, you can throw in, you know, the F-bomb for all kinds of circumstances.
Well, I told you when I was having the issue with what's her name recently, the whole, you know, falling out recently. I said something about I forget how we got to it, but you know, she dropped the F-bomb on me in a text. And I thought, you know, that's really inappropriate.
See, there's a difference, though. I don't curse at people. I don't really...
I don't think she was calling me anything.
Oh, I thought you meant she just said, like, you know, like, like F you or something.
No, it was something like...
But I certainly use
profane language. Oh, I know what it was.
Profane language.
I had
which
said,
isn't good. I don't support the use of profane language.
I was trying to prove that I do say good things about her. So I was saying, somebody asked me about you recently, and I said, we have a complex relationship, but I did not say anything bad. And she said, well, when people ask me about you, I always say he's a good guy. And look at that. When you're asked about me, you say it's complex. That's effing messed up. Okay.
Well, you can't lie to people.
No, it is complex.
I think if that's the truth, then that's what I would have said. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, messed up? I would have understood the same way. You didn't have to type that profanity in it. See, when people
it's just an extra word.
Yeah, but when you type it, see now you've thought about it. You're not even saying it. But what a filthy mouth she has. You know when but she never does it in front of people. You know, so I know she's got total control of it. Because in front of other people, she never lets it fly. But when we were alone, constant. See, I think that's a character flaw.
I don't know that they consciously are aware that they do it.
Turn it on and off?
Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
Because, I mean, like, I turn it on and off. But I'm not really consciously aware I'm doing it until I scribble out the words.
After scribble out the profanity you've written on the papers.
But no, I'm not really aware I'm doing it. I just kind of don't use them sometimes.
Again, I hope she gets better. I think she has a mental illness, and this is a helpful piece of mental illness.
Well,
they're not listening. I think that's a whole nother thing. I think I think they gave up listening because of their mental illness. I think they they're listening and they will not talk about it because I think they made a New Year's resolution.
Well, I think if they're listening, I don't think that...
I don't care, though. I really, at this point, don't care because
saying they have a mental illness is doing you any good.
Well, we're already not on good terms. Like, if I'm not already on good terms with somebody, I really don't... What are they going to do, shoot me a nasty email or say, oh, look what you did? Who cares? Listen, we're already on bad terms.
There's no... I don't know. I mean,
if you think that... First of all...
There's no point to be hostile.
I'm not being hostile.
No, I mean, not you, them.
Right. That's right. That's what I feel. If I truly feel you have a mental instability, I think you should be helped. I want you to get help. I'm not saying it to be rude. I'm saying it because I want you to get help. Like when I used to say the thing, you know, that the person got upset about. Remember that thing? When I used to say that, I wasn't saying that to make them upset. And a matter of fact, when I learned it made them upset, I won't say it now. But at the time, it was just comical to me. And I never dreamed they were listening. But apparently they were.
And then you got a nasty email.
Then I got a nasty email. So, you know, but whatever. I should print that out. Now, see, now if I was really hostile, I would have printed the email out, named the person, and read it on this program. But I would never do that because I am above that.
Well, why would you do that?
No, but if you... See, they...
That's just extra work for no reason.
No, but if they think I'm hostile...
Well, if they think you're hostile...
Then that's hostile. That's real hostility.
I mean, if they think you're hostile, I don't think being hostile is a good way to deal with it.
No, but I'm saying if they think I'm hostile, they're wrong because there are plenty of ways to be hostile with them.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing here.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't understand the like, being hostile. Like, being hostile, especially with people you are slash used to be friends with, like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Because first off, like, if I wanted to be hostile towards you, we were friends at one point. I'm certain I know something about you that I could, like, that people, you know, aren't quite fond of.
Right, but
it would go the other way, too.
Right, but I have said, here's the problem. I have said many good things about this person, many, 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 many good things to them, and I've said them in public, but yet the stuff that they consider bad is what they hold.
Well, I think that's pretty normal as far as people go.
And also, I always say, you have to remember, I'm doing a show. You know, if you heard this, that means you were listening to a show.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times, I don't know how many people believe it per se, but yeah, like, 9 out of 10 times when the show is over, it's a whole different conversation.
Well, yes, I mean,
like, you know.
I mean, you're not lying when you're on the show. It's not that you're telling falsities, but it's just, it's a show. You get that. You get the microphones in front of your face, and you're talking. That's why people become characters on a show, is because they let their name be known, or they're a guest. You know, it's just, that's how it is. But you don't carry that into the break.
I'm sure some people do.
I don't.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure it happens.
Yeah, but it's not like we spend the break talking about this person, but it's just, it's good material for the show.
We don't spend the break talking about pretty much anything that we talk about on the show.
No, it's completely other stuff.
Yep.
That you would never talk about on the show because it would make no sense.
I was gonna say it'd be kind of boring, but I don't think that makes it.
There's just not. It's just not a show topic.
Yep.
But I want people to get help. I want everybody to be better.
You know, I think more people would do psychiatry if it wasn't so expensive.
I don't. I think they're afraid to take the pills.
Do psychiatrists give you pills?
Some do.
I thought they just, like, talked about your problems.
Well, so, yeah, they do that. But some people need to be prescribed things.
Oh,
and
well.
You know what's funny? I go to
a therapist, but I probably wouldn't take any pills.
If you dig into a lot of people's background, you'll find out they've already went into to psychiatrist. And you know, they stopped because they thought they were better, but come to find out they're not.
I don't think that's how psychiatry works.
No, but they think they've cured themselves or something.
Yeah, I don't think that's how psychiatry. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I don't think you get cured.
I don't know.
I mean, you could get better, I guess.
You know what's funny? Don Imus was a famous radio person.
Who?
Don Imus.
Imus.
He was on for years and years and years and years. He was in the morning. He died a few years ago. But anyway, he used to be on every morning, and he had a newsman who was really a straight-laced newsman on his show. His name was Charles McCord. And Charles would read the news every day. But every so often, Charles would get angry at something Imus would say, and it was live radio. And he would do these rants where he would just scream at Imus to shut up and be quiet. And Now, nobody ever said if those were put-ons or not, but were they or weren't they? I don't know.
Well, I would think they're probably not put-ons if nobody ever had to come out and clarify that they were put-ons.
Well, you think, well, why did he keep coming back every day? And this straight-laced guy every day, who was a great newsreader, let me see if we can find a meltdown. Here we go. Here's one of the meltdowns that they had on the show. This is typically what would happen during an Imus meltdown.
Vote. I don't know. They should vote.
Because this is a huge erection, and we have to get these. And
Christ, oh,
Charles.
What?
Do you think Mr. Feynman thinks that that is funny?
You're loud.
Do you think anybody thinks that's funny? Do you? How is that amusing?
I don't know.
Can you explain to me how you, having said erection for election for the past 25 years, is funny? Do you not think that it is wearing itself out? How's that funny? Explain to me how you saying erection for election is funny. Tell me how it's funny. How is that funny? Can you answer me? Can you explain? Did you have a clergy incident when you were a kid? Did your brother touch you or something? How's it funny? What is with your crotch fixation for crying out on us? Stop it! This is Whitaker Chambers again! It's not funny. It's stupid. It is stupid.
Do you think Charles is climbing to Goodwin,
for God's sake, saying, oh, Richard, come here. Don just said erection. How is it funny? Nobody thinks it's funny. It's idiotic. Stop. You're making a fool of yourself constantly. Jesus, stop.
I think Charles has climbed to the top of the tower.
It's November the 2nd. You're for the next 5 days. Stop.
Okay.
Okay. Holy cow, stop!
Okay.
God almighty!
God, I didn't think I was doing that bad of a job in this segment.
Oh, my God, you're not! You're not!
You're not. You're doing fine.
Oh, we love you.
The top of the tower. Speaking of Austin, Texas, he's at the top of the tower right now.
Yes.
Harold Ford, that's a tough one. That's going to be down to the wire.
Yeah.
And according to the polls, he's down.
So what do you think?
I don't know. After seeing it, I think it probably might be a put-on. But
I don't know.
Nonetheless, I mean, even if it's not a put-on, I think that the other guy is definitely just doing it to, like, get on the man's nerves.
You know what? Probably one of the funniest radio moments, this is Terry's all-time favorite radio moment, is Dime Store Jesus. Now, this is a football moment. You know who Terry Bradshaw is, right?
Yes.
Okay, Terry Bradshaw was a regular caller to the Imus show as a guest. And he had done an album called Dime Store Jesus back in his... sang a song called Dime Store Jesus back in his... playing days, and he was guesting on the program, and somehow Imus found out and got this record, and this is what happened. This is one of Terry's favorite radio moments, and it is funny. It is a funny moment.
This is your stupid, okay, here insulting we go. Show every morning. I love this show. Yeah. You're a sick human being. Yeah. And I sat there, and my constipation went away when you started playing my music. I've been crapping so much this morning, I'm raw. I'm on the pot right now. I have been set free, man, thanks to you playing my music. Quit it. Quit playing it. I've lost all my self-esteem. Yeah. I feel terrible as a human being. Dr. Phil even called me a moron this morning. Every guest on there has made fun of me. I feel totally insecure.
Not my brother.
My dogs won't even to hang around me. They took off. They've run away. Can't get a date. I'm ugly. Next to you, I make you look like Robert Redford. This is not a good morning for me.
My brother.
Playing my music. Your brother's the only smart one you've had on today.
He likes you.
I know. What's the matter with him?
He knows something about country music, too, you know.
I got a nervous stomach. I have never been so nervous. I said, quit playing those albums. My God, yeah. You're killing me.
Do you remember?
And on the back of that album, that's the same cold-hearted heifer that sued me for $1 million when I was making $100,000 a year. She can take a flying leap. I don't care where she is.
Dime Store Jesus, you remember that?
It was a great song. It was a top 10 gospel song. You don't get the message.
No, yes, I do.
No, you don't, because you don't believe in the hereafter. You don't believe in God. Donald Trump doesn't either. He said Billy Graham's about God. Billy Graham's about Jesus, not God.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't think you have to.
And you better get on your knees, you ugly little fart, before you board that plane today.
Now that's.
And pray to God that plane makes it down to wherever you're going, and that precious Silverado, which someone obviously has given you because your sorry ass ain't paying for nothing. Poor little old Jim Nance is on there, and you want him to bring a case of Rolexes down. And then you hung up on him. You are rude, my friend. Rude, rude, rude. And then you ripped the network that's paying you $18 million a year. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I'm ashamed to even be associated with you. I hate you. I almost hate you. I want to hate you, but I can't because you're funny. You're stupid, but you're funny. Carl, shut up. I hope your operation lasts longer than it's supposed to.
I know Dime Store Jesus might have been.
You don't know dick. You don't know nothing.
No, that, Terry, that.
You know nothing. You little creepy looking weasel.
You've hurt my feelings.
You don't have any feelings. If you had feelings, you quit doing the show the way you do it. Be nice to people. Last thing I need to do is come on this show and listen to them sorry albums I put out and get sick at my stomach and crap all in my britches. I'm not happy. I was happy when I got up, but I ain't happy no more.
Well, let me see if I can make you feel better here.
Shut up. I don't even want to hear from you. Stop it.
Sarah was a seeker. Wondering through
the
night.
Just take me on home now, Lord.
Seeking lovers in the dark.
Turn that thing off.
Seeking Jesus in the light.
And I do
her, she found many.
I come up
Jesus
in a studio,
got it all. She bought an 8x10 from the fire.
Turn it
off! Nailed it to the wall.
Nailed him to the wall.
You're sorry, man. Turn that off!
She goes to bed.
Hey, Charles, you better turn that thing off. That's all right. Somebody get the butt whooping when I come up there again. I don't care where I start. Hey, the one of you in there, expect that little fat Dr. Phil guy. You gotta get with Marino and get that, oh, yeah, come back to my family. They say about you about 100 yards back, so you look like you weigh 100 pounds. Cut it off!
Go ahead
and laugh. Go ahead and laugh. That's right. Just keep on playing it. You're just making me money.
That's fine.
You're no good. Say you're sorry. Say you're sorry.
I'm not sorry.
that was a, you know, Terry loves that moment.
That's good.
That's a good moment.
Terry Bradshaw, I didn't know he sang.
Oh, he doesn't.
You got some country music.
He doesn't. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Dime Store Jesus.
You ever listen to Hank Williams?
I've heard Hank Williams, sure.
You ever, like, I Saw the Light?
Yes. No, see, I'll tell you an embarrassing moment. This just came to me of being on the radio. We were in front of the Grand Ole Opry doing a show once. I'm not even going to say who I was with in front of the Grand Ole Opry, because they're no longer here. But I was in front of the Grand Ole Opry, the birthplace of country music. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We're doing a show out front, and it was March, and it was cold in Nashville. Cold, cold, cold. And we're out there doing this show, and somehow it was a good idea in somebody's brain, because we had just taken the Grand Ole Opry tour, that we should sing the song that they end the Grand Ole Opry with every night, which is, what's the song? It's a death song, you know? Oh, what's the song?
I can look it up real fast. I don't know.
Oh, gosh, what's the song? Does anybody know what they end the Grand Ole Opry with every night? 740-383-9944. It's a different type of a song, but we had just heard it.
Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
Will the Circle Be Unbroken, yes. So we're sitting... Now, there are people going to the Grand Ole Opry because it's between a mall. You know, it's a big mall over there that's still in operation, and the Grand Ole Opry people are visiting. And we're sitting out there freezing doing this radio show, and we're singing Will the Circle Be Unbroken in front of the Grand Ole Opry. And that's embarrassing.
That's always good.
But anybody can sing that song. I think that's why they do that at the Grand Ole Opry.
I mean, I guess I'd have to hear the song.
Oh, it's a terrible song. They talk about Undertakers and... I will play the song. Why not on Memorial Day weekend? You got any things going on for Memorial Day weekend?
I'm having a cookout at my grandma's.
Oh,
going to that.
It might rain.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I'll give you 100% chance it's going to rain.
I think Memorial Day is a good day to have rain.
Well, no, it's supposed to be nice in the kickoff to summer.
On Memorial Day, I think that, you know, troops who have served and, you know, didn't make it home, or however you want to phrase that whole thing, deserve some rain.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know about that. I don't think people want rain. Where is it? Well, apparently there's a lot of versions of this song. Okay, here we go. Dolly Parton. Here we go.
Dolly Parton.
At the Grand Ole Opry. That on my final show, just have a big old hootenanny.
I can get down to a hootenanny.
You know, that's another thing. When I was out in front of the Grand Ole Opry, it came to me there. Loretta Lynn's in that video, and I said she lived in a trailer park because she was still alive then. And I said, I think Loretta Lynn's in a trailer park around here somewhere.
Loretta Lynn is the queen of country music.
Okay.
I mean, I don't listen to Loretta Lynn.
Whatever.
I can't talk.
She's dead.
Well,
she wasn't dead then, though.
Well, she was the queen of country music.
Whatever.
I think Dolly Parton's probably got that now, I guess.
You know, whatever. See, I don't care enough about it. It's you know, la-di-da.
About country music?
No.
I like all kinds of music.
No.
Music's good.
Good for them.
I'm going to go see a Tracy Lawrence concert.
Who's that?
You know who Tracy Lawrence is?
No.
He makes country music.
What's he sing?
If the World Had a Front Porch... Paint Me a Birmingham, Texas Tornado.
Well, what? See, those don't sound like songs.
Those are songs.
Terrible titles. See, that's why I'll listen.
I can,
What's that song last year from that guy at the Bratwurst Festival?
That song last
year? Yeah, that guy, terrible song that we played we went to the Bratwurst Festival and did the broadcast.
Oh, the Watermelon Crawl?
No, yeah, but that guy, but he did another song that's terrible, terrible.
Tracy Byrd. I know who you're talking
terrible,
about.
Terrible, terrible.
One second. I got to pull it up here.
Oof.
Oh! Are you talking... No, I'm pretty sure you're talking about the Watermelon
Crawl. No, on the Watermelon Crawl. He did another one. Terrible song.
I mean...
Something about alcoholism.
Drinking Bone.
Drinking Bone. Yeah, that was it. Terrible. Oof.
No, that's a good song.
Anyway, I'm done. We won't be on Monday morning. Thank God you'll get a rest from this. But there will be repeats on the best of this show. Ooh, what will that be? Certainly won't be this program, but you'll hear something on Monday morning. I'm sure it'll be fascinating. You're up next.
Yes.
All right, you ready?
I think so.
All right, have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and I'll be back with you on Tuesday morning. Scott Spears heading for the dugout. One. Is Dr. Ruth in a happy relationship?
Good question. What is your next question, Scott? About my personal life.
I,